Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I know what love is.
I love you. You complete me.
I may have never been kissed on Notting Hill, but I found a podcast to get my fill. Maybe I'm clueless, but this is good as it gets. Paige, Mikey, and Todd serving the best of my best friend's wedding. Rom-coms, true love, and heavy petting. Be crying on the couch, but we're not forgetting. The most of these flicks are trash. We relive it again, all romance in the podcast.
As you wish.
I've been doing a lot of things. The thing is, I love you.
Looks like love at first sight to me.
Oh, God.
Okay, I'll
No, we're keeping it. We are keeping it. I love that.
Do you bite your thumb at us, sir? I'm Paige Wesley.
I'm Mikey Randolph.
And I'm Todd Schlosser. And this week, I made you guys watch the masterpiece that is Baz Luhrmann's
Romeo plus Juliet.
Page. I love that you said that because we did not plan that. That shit's so funny to me because that's how it's written.
I feel like I'm going to be the minority opinion on this film throughout this podcast.
No, this is not a perfect film. I will fully admit that. And also, if you're not into Shakespeare, there's not much in this for you.
Holy shit. I can't believe you just had the audacity to say that this is not a perfect film. Jamie Kennedy has pink hair and it's his best movie ever.
It is Jamie Kennedy's best movie by far.
Not a tall bar, maybe, but still, the fact remains.
I mean, it's this versus Malibu's Most Wanted. I feel like it's low bar of entry.
It's definitely this.
It made me want pink hair because I've had pink hair in the past. And I'm full of chaos and rage. And so, like, it, not the best time to be making hair decisions.
I'd go pink. I feel like I could pull it off. I have real, probably is too skinny to be able to lick his own nipple, but can energy like Jamie Kennedy has in this movie.
I can fully lick my own nipple. But then again, I mean, I got a lot of heft on my side.
And genetics on me, for sure.
Yeah.
All you gotta do is cut it off, Todd. You can lick it.
Anyone can lick a nipple if they try hard enough.
Somebody bring me a knife! I'm not gonna cut off my nipple. Not tonight.
Am I a pretty piece of flesh?
nice soundtrack inclusion by Paige Wesley.
I own this soundtrack. I am that asshole.
Oh, God. Todd, why did you pick this film?
Because it's a perfect movie.
Oh, God.
What are you talking about? Can I tell you my experience of watching this movie?
Today or just ever?
Today. I do not remember the first time I saw it because I was pretty young when it came out. So, like,
of course.
I'm sure I saw it in someone's basement or their house or whatever. Sure. Yeah.
What monster would lock you in a basement and make you watch this film?
I don't know, but there was like a phone involved.
Oh, jeez. That's the other podcast.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. What was the name of that movie? Sorry. Now it's like...
Black Phone with shirtless Ethan Hawke. You think I'd forget that?
That's right. You mean Daddy Ethan Hawke, as you kept calling him?
He's doing a screening here in Nashville, but it sold out. He's like hosting this new film and he like wrote, directed, and he's doing two screenings and they sold out. I didn't get tickets.
I'd go to that.
Anyway, back to this movie.
I fully understand that this movie is off the charts, just super campy, ridiculous from Nutsville.
It's bonkers, 100%.
It's like exactly my personality in movie form, overlaid with like, I don't know, what seems like a ripoff of West Side Story. So whatever, I love it. It's great.
Oh, God.
It's Romeo and Juliet.
No, Paige, I know West Side Story is a ripoff of this. It's a joke because Shakespeare wrote this in like 4 AD or whatever. I realize it's been around forever. I'm I'm joking.
I liked West Side Story 100 times better than this.
Shocking, because you hated West Side Story.
That should tell you where I'm at tonight, friends. Hold on a second. I got a call.
Okay. Well, while Mikey can't yell at me, I'll go next.
Mikey had to take a work call.
So I don't remember the first time I saw this. Years ago, my mother, who is an English teacher, this is not her favorite adaptation.
Oh, really?
She is not a fan.
Tell me why. Tell me why.
Ain't nothing but a heart. But the reason I like this one, I love it when people put Shakespeare in other places, times, situations, etc.
Same.
Like, my mom's favorite Macbeth adaptation is one that's done in World War II. Like,
nice.
People
okay.
do wild stuff. I've seen Macbeth with Latin street gangs. Like, there are so many different ways to kind of, like, use Shakespeare as like a base to then paint something really interesting on top of it. And I feel like this movie does that. I mean, obviously, if you're not into Shakespeare, it's gonna be a tough slog. However, if you are into Shakespeare and neon light museums, as I am, this kind of fucking slaps. Now, again, could you cut 20 minutes out of it? Of course you could.
How dare you?
So easily.
There's no fat on this movie at all.
Wrong.
It is lean and mean and ready to point a ostentatious gun in your face, Paige.
There are so many long shots of Leonardo DiCaprio just walking on the beach being sad. Just like, doo, 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 doo.
That song is so good, though.
I know. I own the soundtrack.
It's perfect for that moment.
I know. It's perfect. I also love the visuals of this movie are so fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like the stage on the beach. I love the neon in the church. I'm here for it. This is a gorgeous movie. Is it weird? 110%.
It's fucking bonkers, but
yeah.
Oh, it's so good. It is like, if you were a fan of Romeo and Juliet when you had to read it in high school, and you were the kind of baby that, like, if you were crying, someone, like, jingled their keys in your face and you, like, laughed and loved it.
And you're like, shiny stuff, yes!
Exactly. Then, as an adult, you're like, this movie is perfect for me.
And this is a real weird thing that I just love. Fluorescent lights in places where they should not be. I fucking love it. I loved it when it was in that fucking Weekend video.
Oof.
I love it in this movie. I love it in Madonna's Like a Prayer video. Like, I love all of it. I love it. It's got such a cool look to me, and I have always liked it. So I love it in this movie. That said, the acting in this, choices were made.
Oh.
I fully admit that. And hey, I believe they were directed to be that way.
Oh, sure, because the director exactly knew what he was doing, because he was creating
yes.
the world's most perfect film.
He was going for a very specific vibe,
yeah.
110%. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I do think you could trim, you could absolutely trim, but I feel like the cinematography is great, the vibe is amazing, and for a Shakespeare adaptation, you could do way worse. Plus, this gave us the most hilarious visual gag in Hot Fuzz. One of my favorite visual gags in Hot Fuzz, where they do the community theater version
yeah.
of this play. I do love it. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. I understand if this is not for people. I get that this is a very specific flavor.
Yeah, it's a vibe.
And some people dig it, some people don't. I am in the camp that digs it. It's also like a slice of 90s nostalgia.
Yeah.
In a way that is chef's kiss.
Fully agree. This feels aggressively 90s.
You know how in Seven it was almost like a fairy tale version of New York? And by fairy tale, I mean dark and gloomy and it's Gotham.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like this is that.
Yeah.
Like, it's a fairy tale version of bleak Miami. And I kind of love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Mikey, you're back. Let me give you the Cliff Notes version. I understand there are problems. I understand you could definitely trim it. If you're not into Shakespeare, it's not for you. But I am into Shakespeare and I like the visuals. So I enjoy it, even though it could definitely be trimmed. And I think the cinematography is very cool. But I respect that you do not like it, because this film is definitely not for everybody. And that's okay.
Bro, I mean, I'm not mad at y'all. I knew that you theater nerds would be all over this piece of shit. I knew it from the drop.
Guilty as charged, Mikey.
I knew that when your English lit teacher showed you this film in eighth grade that you like orgasmed all up in your seat back then.
An eighth grader is who you're talking about, Mikey.
Eighth grader. First of all, Romeo and Juliet is ninth grade. Go fuck yourself. Secondly, my mom refuses to show this version. She only shows portions of the Zeffirelli version. And then I don't think she even shows that anymore because of the like weirdness. Also, my mom hasn't taught Romeo and Juliet in a long time. She teaches mostly Macbeth or Hamlet, and she goes with the Patrick Stewart Macbeth. But most of the time, they go and like see a stage performance of this. I never had to watch this in school.
Here's my actual criticism of this film in particular, and maybe Romeo and Juliet. This film, I feel like, glorifies the suicide aspect more than the play does and more than any other version of this does.
It definitely makes it look cool, and that is a problem.
It really does.
And like, I think your concerns are valid.
I was in my mind, I was like, I mean, that's a great place to lay
with
forever.
The neon
like
it, and the roses.
Okay,
like,
see,
fuck
this
yeah.
is all very bad psychologically. So
you're not wrong, Mikey.
Yeah,
I hear you.
100%. I'm joking, clearly.
I hold space for you.
I do think being an old man this time watching this film, since the last time I saw it was ninth grade.
Correct.
I did feel more of the tragedy this time. I'm trying to give it more of the benefit of the doubt. And not just about Romeo and Juliet, just about all these fucking idiot kids in general.
Of course.
I like Mercutio and then the other one and then the other one.
God, Mercutio's amazing.
They all just kill each other over nothing.
Well, in this movie, they're technically like rival mafia members. Like,
yeah, they're rival gangs.
Yeah, they're like rival gangs.
Yeah, but I mean like the slights that turn into this are very small.
Yes. So
one guy gets shot because his friend bit his thumb. Like, that's dumb shit.
And like, I see a lot at work, you know, gang violence and things like that. And so that kind of resonates of how the tragedy of wasted youth and these things, there's some things that are so important, and suicide plays into this. Things are so important to teenagers because they don't have the life experience or the insight or like the bird's eye view of it all, where this is so important, I would kill over it, or this is so important, I would die of suicide for this person. And like, that is that mindset is a tragedy. And I saw that more today.
Sure.
Now, I hated the direction. I love the aesthetic.
Okay, good. We can agree on that.
Uh-huh. I hate old English in a way that cannot be described to you in a normal word.
And I'm over here like, I wish the whole thing had been an iambic pentameter.
Of course.
It kind of is, but they perform it out of the pentameter, which is probably one of my mother's complaints.
Yeah. except for, I feel like all the scenes with the priest are in iambic pentameter, though. Those ones sound like it should. The rest of the movie, it doesn't have like the rhythm
yes.
that the stage play normally does.
I feel like Claire Danes' scenes also tend to be in more of the rhythm, but
yeah.
a lot of the fights and a lot of Romeo, not so much. Anyway, Mike, you were saying how much you love the aesthetic.
Yeah.
But you hate old English.
Yes. And then, you know, Baz is a little hit or miss guy for me, you know?
Sure. I mean, I am in the vocal minority that doesn't like Moulin Rouge. So like, I get it.
Okay. Hot take. I liked Australia.
I love Australia, Mikey. I really do love that movie. I reference it all the time. I sing you to me, Mikey. I sing you to me.
Hi, welcome to Australia. That's the song from Australia. I don't remember the fucking songs. I just remember it didn't get on my nerves that the rest of his films do.
It's definitely toned down, but I like that heightened, weird, fluorescent aesthetic.
It's like the saturation's turned up to 11. I'm here for
yeah.
it, guys.
Yes, it's Gotham City's Romeo and Juliet. I get it.
It's the opposite of Gotham City's. Like, it's so bright and colorful.
It's Batman and Robin's Gotham City, friends.
There you go. Yeah. Like,
I was thinking it was Cocaine King's Romeo and Juliet, and you know what?
You're right.
Here for it.
Hell yeah.
Here for it.
I mean, they're supposed to be like mafia bosses, so like, cocaine is probably part of their business.
Yeah.
So can I tell you how I watched this movie today, finally?
Sure.
I watched this movie on the plane back from Miami, sitting next to two adult women who I didn't talk to. I was in the window seat, and they just sat down and, you know, we're doing the thing of like not paying attention to anybody. And I pull out my phone and start watching this. And then as we get further into the movie, I start to like cry like while I'm watching this on a plane. And I saw more than one time they both like looked over at me like, oh my god, is he gonna be okay watching this movie that I've never heard of in my life?
No, they've definitely,
I mean, probably, but they were probably also like, he realizes this is just Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet, right?
Right. Were they our age?
No, they were probably about 10 years younger than us, Paige.
Oh, okay. If they were 10 years younger than us, they might not have
seen this version.
In formative, like formative years when we saw it.
And maybe, listen, maybe it's just because we did After last week that this feels like the best movie ever made. So like maybe it's partly that, but I really liked watching it this time.
I feel the opposite. I feel like this movie makes After look like Shakespeare.
No, After is terrible.
This movie's first build screenwriter is Shakespeare.
Yeah.
They gave him screenwriting credit. Classy.
They have to. It's all his dialogue.
I know, but he's not getting paid for it, Paige. He did.
They actually probably have to pay whoever's managing the maybe not. I don't know. But
it's got
to
be in public domain, right?
I think it's so public domain. Yeah.
Yes, but I know there is an estate that manages publications of all of his stuff. So I think most of it goes into like theater programs and stuff.
I don't honor the Queen's laws.
Yeah, we fought a war so we could do whatever we wanted with Shakespeare.
She's dead.
So, yeah, King's laws, whatever.
I don't know. When are we going to talk about how the royals are missing and they're trying to like soft launch William's mistress? We need to do a bonus episode so we can talk about it later.
This movie felt like The Pest, but they just read poems.
What?
Mikey, you didn't even have like a favorite gun.
I think John Leguizamo's gun is the coolest.
I hated the gun stuff. The rapier.
Tybalt's guns are awesome. They are awesome. I'm a huge fan of Mercutio in this movie. He is so good.
Also, apologies. The last time Harold Perrineau was in a movie, I was pronouncing his last name wrong. I went and looked up pronunciation. I apologize. Perrineau.
I'm going to call him Mercutio in this movie so great. I don't fall into the trap of sounding like I'm smart like Paige is.
Damn
and
it.
Y'all just know I'm dumb. But like, Mercutio in this movie's fucking amazing. He's so good. I feel like he knew exactly what Baz Luhrmann like was going for, even more so than like a few of the other characters. I feel like he was locked into the vibe from like Jump Street. And also like Mercutio is one of those characters that like you have to kill off because they're going to take over the movie.
The entire stage.
Yeah.
I think this is probably one of my favorite versions of the Queen Mab speech.
Yeah, because like it's the drugs and the way he like gallops around
it.
While he's doing that and he's in full drag. Like
love
that
it.
Shit was so great. And that's stuff that you're not going to get that kind of like camp, if you want to call it that, in any other adaptation of this.
I mean, not a film one, for sure. You might get it on stage. I do also think that it's, and maybe we can wait until we get to that scene to talk about it.
Sure,
but
yeah.
Shakespeare has such a deep history of drag.
Oh, yeah.
That I felt like, in a way, that kind of honors the actual theater history.
I thought so, too. Yeah, because they would make men play women.
Correct.
That makes sense why they did that. I liked Shakespeare in Love. That was good.
Oh, yeah.
Shakespeare in Love is a lot like this movie, except not as good.
What? I actually really like Shakespeare in Love. My mom hates it.
I love Shakespeare in Love.
But I like Shakespeare in Love.
I love Shakespeare in Love. Yeah, it's just not as good as this.
I like Shakespeare in Love, and I like that they speak regular English.
Only a little bit. They go back and forth.
They don't speak it like this.
Yeah, you could have easily tweaked the dialogue for 400 years in the future. Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like Romeo and Juliet as is, but I find some of the sections very, very poetic and very beautiful.
Yeah.
I love the stories of Shakespeare.
Sure.
Like the story structure, the plot, the dialogue. I can't, like the aging out of the dialogue. I like the meaning is great. All of that is good. Actually, Romeo and Juliet is probably my least favorite Shakespeare kind of property here.
Yeah, 100%.
But I just, the dialogue, I like West Side Story or things that update.
Yeah.
The updated versions of Othello and stuff like, I love all that stuff. I just don't like the original stuff because I just don't like to read like that.
I love the cadence of it all.
I do too.
Man, I don't know if I'd get in trouble saying something like this, so maybe we'll cut it. But like, to me, it feels like when I'm listening to rap on some level and like they get to like a really cool rhyme because they're following that iambic pentameter like meter.
Sure. Yeah.
So like how are they going to get to that beat?
Sure.
Within the point they're trying to make. I love that shit. So like, I also like it, Paige, because I'm a fucking nerd, I guess.
I like it for that reason. I also like it because I feel like there are times where the way they choose to express an emotion that seems very basic in a very beautiful way, I really appreciate. Yeah. Sometimes the way that they describe something, you're like, I would have never thought to describe it that way.
Yeah.
However, that does make sense to the human experience when you really think about it. I fully understand that it is difficult to read if you don't read it regularly and if you are not used to reading in that way.
Yeah, I don't like reading it. I like seeing it performed because I don't read it in the right cadence.
Yeah, well, it is meant to be performed. Yeah. So you should see them live if you can, because that also helps with context too. So like, I don't begrudge anybody for not loving it, but I'm the kind of nerd that had to go learn Middle English to read Chaucer in its original language. So like, it don't bother me. I find it very beautiful, but I get why people might be frustrated. However, I feel like this movie does a great job of building in the context so that even if you're not exactly following, you're kind of understanding what's going on.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of it, and Mikey, correct me if I'm wrong, I bet you heard 30% of this movie, but you understood 100% of it. You know, like a lot of it is just like,
yeah, kids are dumb. They die.
100%.
The really dumb ones die, yeah.
Bro, the first woman you put it into, you don't want to kill yourself on her body. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I would say that she killed herself on his body. Also, I don't think he was a virgin.
Yeah, I don't believe he was.
It kicks off with him, like, being sad that Rosalind won't put out.
Well, in the play, they're, like, 13 or whatever.
In the play, she is basically 13. He is a year or two older, but it does talk about Rosalind, who was his previous crush, if you want to call it that, and we don't know what was consummated or not.
In this movie, he is not 15 or whatever. Motherfucker 21 at least.
Right. They age her up a little bit too.
Yeah.
They don't say anything about it.
They don't say it. They do use the original text, which would call her almost 13, but she definitely looks older than that.
Yeah.
And he is also described as being the younger of the Montague family. So, you know, it didn't seem off to me. Let's put it that way. I mean, there are way more off things.
Sure. Yeah.
In this story. I'm not going to quibble about the ages when we've got the whole glorifying suicide thing.
Fair.
Which is also something I kind of prefer about West Side Story as well.
Because Maria lives and Tony is technically shot by Bernardo. Yeah. Not Bernardo, but Bernardo's friend. Chino.
Chino, yes.
Yeah, it's Chino.
I agree with that. That's why I like West Side a little bit. Yeah, I think this film goes over the top with the glorification.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I like Baz Luhrmann because he's like, how can I heighten everything in this scene, like visually and like all of that? And I just love that kind of camp.
Sure.
But like Shakespeare was trying to tell a tragedy, so I feel like it really undermines the point of what he's trying to say here.
I disagree.
Yes, Shakespeare was all camp.
Yeah.
All camp, all the time. Ugh. As much as possible.
I think what he did and why it's so important is that like he sort of found this way to meld comedy and tragedy. Like a lot of our sad movies have funny beats in them. Like I think that was maybe not the first, but it was one of the first that did that. I don't know. I sort of love this movie way more than I should, I think. Because I think the vibe is like exactly me.
The vibes are on point.
Yes. It's so great. And I also love the kind of energy that, like, when Mercutio's going down, when he, like, knows he's dying, he's like, fuck all of you. Why yeah, have you done this to me? All of you are responsible, and you're all gonna die. Like, I just fucking love the commitment to that shit.
Yep.
Man, and that guy goes through it in that scene. It's so good. It's just so good, guys. I'm so sorry.
It's great.
I'm so sorry. I'm such a nerd for this.
This is gonna be, like, like 3 hour recording.
No, let's just get into the episode.
Just because Todd is going to be so into it.
I'm going to be crying. Let's just move through it.
Okay.
Crying? Why are you crying for these dumb teenagers?
I'm not crying. I was joking. I mean, because the movie makes me feel things really like it's just, yeah.
It makes me feel things too. Bad, dark things.
That's honestly, Mikey, I think you're in the right here. I don't think I'm a good guy in all this. I just like a weird movie.
I'm getting concerned that every week you're like, I cried 4 times during this film, and it's like after. And I'm like, I just don't understand mental state at this point in your life. But you shouldn't be crying to every single one of these films. I think we need to talk about it. I think the listeners are wondering about it. If you're exaggerating, that's fine. I just need to know that. If not, I'm going to welfare check your house next week.
No, I didn't cry during after, for the record. You could check the tape on that.
Okay.
I do cry a lot, though. Like, I'm not saying you're not wrong.
And I don't want to come off wrong because I think males should be able to express feelings and cry and all that things. But like,
right, because it sounds like you're like low-key bullying me for having access to my emotions.
I think you are crossed the line and maybe are on the other side of healthy expression of feelings.
Publicly on a plane, weirding out two perfectly normal ladies who just like had to also fly from Miami to Nashville today.
On many films that do not resonate, such as Leap Year. They do not have the emotional resonation to deserve this kind of response. I'm worried about you.
I did cry watching Leap Year. I will own that.
That's exactly the movie I'm thinking about.
That is embarrassing, I guess. If you've seen Leap Year, you know why. But like, I did, and I own it.
Okay.
Maybe we should just go through this movie scene by scene, though.
Yes.
Maybe we should do a lot of things to help you.
Okay. We open on a news report basically depicting, and it's the opening chorus scene from the play.
Yeah.
Depicting both houses as essentially gangs involved in gang violence. Now, we are going to get a whole bunch of information in this news report as the TV's like far away and then gets closer to the screen. And then we're going to cut, and then we're going to immediately get all the same fucking information in a weird montage.
It's literally the same dialogue. Like, it's the same words again.
It's the chorus. It's the, like, two households, both alike in dignity, in Fair Verona, where we lay our scene. And it's the whole thing.
But it's Verona Beach.
Yeah. Still love it.
Same.
Anyway, and we get the Montague boys and the Capulet boys. But this is where the Montague boys pull up to a gas station. And who should also pull up but the Capulets? And they're like, oh shit, it's the Capulets. What are we going to do about that? How about we bite my thumb at you, sir?
So great.
And they draw guns over it.
I think you mean swords, Paige. No one has anything called a gun in this movie.
They do call them all swords, but they are very cool looking guns.
They are. They're awesome. I love John Leguizamo in this scene.
He's over the top. Love it.
He is super over the top. But I also love that like every 3 to 4 seconds, there's like a really weird speed ramp and people are moving faster than they should be. And like, do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I hate that.
Uh-huh. I'm so sorry, Mikey. I love that shit. It was so fun.
That's one of the things that I don't love stylistically in this movie.
That's a 90s style, early 2000s choice.
It is a vibe.
It is. I feel like it does not add much. And it still doesn't speed up the scenes that are taking too long. So it's like an extra layer of weird, but it is done for the vibe. I get why it's being done. Just don't love it.
It's clearly like intentional. They're not trying to like speed up bad performances or whatever.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, it's a vibe.
Yeah. But this is also where we meet Benvolio on the Montague side, who is trying to keep the peace. And then Tybalt on the Capulet side, who is not interested in keeping the peace.
Yeah, no, Tybalt suffers no fools and has the coolest vest he's dying to show you.
Oh, it's like a gun vest. It's dope.
It's awesome. But it's got like the Virgin Mary on it, right?
Yes, but he's also got the like corazón, like on flames tattoo.
Oh, over like on his chest. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's basically dressed, and in fact, kind of all the Capulets are almost like flamenco dancers.
A little bit, yeah. Shit, I didn't think about that.
Their movements are very fluid and dancey, and I do love it.
I love when they start the gun battle because Tybalt shoots first.
Yes.
Because Benvolio is like trying to keep the peace. His gun is still up.
Yeah.
But he's like, listen, I don't want to fight. I'm literally trying to stop them. And Tybalt pulls his guns and like does this, like he's always like flipping them around. But anyway, he shoots two guns.
Yeah.
And I guess both bullets hit Benvolio's gun because you see like sparks come off of it and he drops it. I don't know. I thought it was hilarious. I loved it.
I mean, it's damn near impossible. And then they do get into this like almost like a drive-by fight because the Montagues drive away, the Capulets drive after, but we then cut to the news from like police helicopters that are just like, put the guns down. And we get what I think might be the coolest shot in this entire movie, which is Benvolio with two guns out as the wind is blowing his Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
Like the wind from the copter. He's just like, yeah. Like it looks dope. I hope that guy has like a framed picture of that on his wall.
This scene reminded me of Zoolander.
Yes.
And then I always wondered why the cops didn't just like, because there's a lot of civilians around during these gunfights. Like,
yes,
the cops are in the pocket of both the families.
Yes,
that's why it's like a mafia town. But the captain of like the guy who like exiles Romeo isn't, and he's very frustrated by like what's going on in the police force, and low-key hates them, but realizes he can't necessarily go after them directly.
So in the play, that context is not there. In the play, True. That police captain is the prince
yes.
of this nation state. So whatever he says goes. So yeah. they have a vested interest in keeping the peace.
Yeah.
But yes, in this movie, the cops. Anyway, it's basically shown on this like little news footage montage like riots.
Yeah. But this made me want like a Grand Theft Auto Romeo plus Juliet game. Because I would definitely be a Montague.
All seven people in the country who would love that are really cheering out there.
Oof. Somebody call Rockstar. I got a hit.
Oh, man. Anyway, they end up going before the police chief. And the police chief is talking to both families and is like, yo, if either of you start shit again, I'll fucking kill you.
Literally.
Heads up. Which makes a lot more sense in the play when it's the prince. And it's like, I will fucking behead either of you. I don't give a fuck. I'm the prince. Anyway, they're driving away. The Montagues, Mr. and Mrs. Montague. And they're like, oh, thank goodness Romeo wasn't there. Where is Romeo? And Benvolio's like, he's sad because of a girl. And they're like, can you go find him and like knock off this sad boy shit? So they send Benvolio over and Benvolio's just like, why you be a sad boy? And he's just like, oh, Rosaline.
She wants sex with me. It sucks. Like he is very much like fuckboy energy.
Yes.
I mean, the whole movie really, like he sort of always is that
yeah.
sort of guy, but like he just falls in love immediately. And like just jumps from one to the next. And you know,
in love is a strong word there.
I think if you asked him, he would say he was in love. That is what I mean. I don't think I don't think anyone experiences anything closely resembling love at all in this movie.
No.
The whole movie takes place over like 4 days.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Rosalind is like, oh, my boyfriend Romeo's mad at me because I won't have sex with him until we're married, but he'll calm down after a week. I'm sorry, who's dead? Like, yeah. he was married to, huh?
He cheated on me with Ethel, the pirate's daughter. Yeah.
But like it happens so fast. Like,
yeah,
it's insane.
It's crazy. As we're kind of cutting back and forth between Benvolio and Romeo having their sad boy shit to Juliet and her nurse. Her nurse, played brilliantly by Miriam Margolyes.
Miriam Margolyes.
I'm pronouncing that right. Margolyes.
The mother?
No, the nurse.
Oh, yeah, the nurse. Sorry. Yeah, she's awesome.
A brilliant Australian actress who I love in everything she's in. Yeah,
she's so good. I mean, she's in Harry Potter. Like, she's great.
My favorite is Blackadder.
Oh, fuck yeah.
She is like early days Blackadder, yeah. and she is great.
She has a vibe.
Also, Little Shop of Horrors, any number of things. She goes on the Graham Norton show all the time because she doesn't know who any young actors are. And so they book her on the show with people. And she's like, oh, Henry Cavill, I've never heard of you. And it's amazing. It is real fun. I love that.
Love it.
Love it for her. But so she plays the nurse, and she and Juliet and Juliet's mom are kind of like, you're young. Shouldn't you think about getting married? Because it's old times, but also it's new times. And that's confusing in this movie. And she's like, well, I feel kind of young. And her mom's like, what? I definitely already had a baby by the time I was your age. And then Juliet's just kind of like, I don't want your life. But not in that many words.
No, it's definitely not. This is not Varsity Blues presents Baz Luhrmann's Romeo plus Juliet.
Love it.
God, we got to do Varsity Blues.
We do. Just so we can hear that song slowly again.
But part of the reason that they're having this conversation is because in this movie, Dave Paris, in the play Paris, which this is one of the only adaptations that includes the character of Paris. Most movie adaptations and some stage adaptations leave him out completely, which yeah. is always wild to me.
Well, and he originally dies in the tomb because Romeo kills him.
But does allow him to die next to Juliet. It's like one final mercy. Anyway.
The final thruple.
Ooh. But played by young Paul Rudd, yes. who, if you're wondering what that looks like, it looks exactly the same as Paul Rudd today because he has to show that clip of Mac and Me once a year or else he withers into the version of an old painting in his house.
You were talking about.
Yes. He looks exactly the same. But he wants to marry Claire Danes. And so they're just like, what say you? Think of this, happy nights for happy days. And she's like, all right, I'll go to the party and see if he's cool. I'll see what's popping. Cut back to Romeo and Benvolio. And Romeo's like, so what's happening? And he's like, Rosaline. And then Mercutio shows up and is like, can you stop screaming about Rosaline? Here's some fucking ecstasy. Stop being a fucking pussy. And then he does the Queen Mab speech, which is phenomenal. This is my favorite version of it. It is incredibly well done. And I think pairs very well with ecstasy. I feel like that's
probably
a natural
yeah.
drug and poetry pairing.
I don't think Mercutio is a true bro. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know what
How
you mean
you
by
mean
that
this?
Statement.
I'm yeah, so I'm confused. So,
yeah, let's please dig into this some more.
He's not a good friend, man.
I don't understand how or why you think that.
Are you saying that someone who brings you drugs isn't a true friend? Because disagree.
I think he causes a lot of conflict that directly leads to the death of Romeo. And like,
I don't think you can blame it on Mercutio. Yeah. I think Tybalt and Romeo make choices.
All of these kids are not actually giving a damn about each other, and it's just fake.
Oh, no, that you're right about that.
All Mercutio does is invite people to parties and be sassy. Like, I don't put blame on him for pretty much any of it.
I don't think so either. Like, I think he sees his friend getting beat up and doesn't handle that well. And
sure,
it costs him his life on Forge. But like, yeah, love Mercutio. He's great.
But like, especially in this scene where he's just like, I have an invitation to the party. Let's go to the party. Like, I don't, you know.
I mean, that's all he's really doing. He's like, let's get fucking lit and go to this party.
Yes.
And it'll be great. We have to wear masks anyway. We have to be undercover. So like, it'll be great.
Yeah. And they're not trying to be mean or trash the party. They're just there to enjoy the party. And then they leave once they get found out.
They legit are just like having a good time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So we get Romeo with his famous like, ooh, this seems like a bad idea, but ecstasy, let's go. And we cut to the party, which is like a 5 to 10 minute long montage of just excess. Party, excess, wildness.
But it's done through Mercutio in full ass drag and a white permed wig.
Love it.
Like dancing and singing, and like it's so fun. He is up there lip syncing for his life. And yes. I was here for it. It was amazing.
Two young hearts run free.
And then the lady who sings after him, because like he's like lip syncing to that song. And then there's a lady who takes over and sings like a slower song.
Kissing You.
She crushes it too. It's so good.
Yes, it is amazing. I do also like I believe Kim Bazell is the artist that does Young Hearts Run Free.
Yeah,
and
okay.
They have like a disco mix, but then they have the slowed mix that they basically play almost like the warping of your brain on drugs, just like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, cool. But party, 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 party. Everywhere's a party.
But pretty much the next thing we get is their meet cute through what is a fish tank that separates the men and women's bathrooms. So like,
kinky.
You can just see into the other bathroom through the fish tank.
Kinky, I say.
And I'm just going to say this, like things look bigger through double paned glass filled with water. So don't expect as much.
We have, I think, 3 bars here that have just like one bathroom for men and women to go into. It's kind of wild.
Super normal here. Because, yeah. But all the stalls have doors. So
yes,
like,
yes. But you're all washing your hands together. No fish tanks even blocking you.
Honestly, like,
yeah, that's not weird.
I don't care. Like, that's cool. As long as like,
yeah, I'm fine.
They have doors that close, you know, I don't care.
Yeah. That was the case when I went to Europe the first time as a teenager. That was the first time I had ever seen that. And then I came back here and was like, honestly, it wasn't that bad. Like, it seemed pretty normal. And then it took like another 10 years for it to happen here. And now it's pretty normal here.
Yeah.
Anyway, the bathroom with the fish tank, with the Desiree song, which is beautiful.
It's really sweet, man. They do have chemistry through that glass, man.
They do, but I would trim the fuck out of this scene. It goes on for fucking ever. Even though I love the song, they do have chemistry. It's shot really cool. I understand.
Disagree. Loved it. Don't cut a frame.
3 times longer than it needs to be.
Yeah, probably. But do I love it? Yeah, I love everything about it.
Sure.
Yeah.
They come out and Tybalt is like, I'm pretty sure that's fucking Romeo and I'm gonna fuck his shit up. But Head Montague, no, Head Capulet,
right.
Sorry, is like, don't, we're having a party. Quit being a fucking asshole. Romeo wasn't even there today, and everyone says he's pretty cool, so as long as they're just going to be here and party and not be dicks, just let it go and have a party.
Yeah, I mean, he's freshly off being scolded by the chief of police, for lack of a better term.
Sure.
And he's, who like pretty much told him, anything that your family's cause, I'm going to hold you personally responsible, right?
Yes.
So like,
yeah.
If anything breaks out, especially at his own house, he's going to be like going to jail or like getting killed or exiled or whatever. So like he is also like pretty stern with Tybalt here. Like he smacks him. He's like, don't you fucking dare do shit.
Yeah.
I'll kick your ass.
Yes.
But Tybalt doesn't handle this well, I guess is my point.
No. And Tybalt's mad about it. So he goes and sulks away.
Because he is the pest. I mean, he's also the pest in this movie too, Mikey. You were right about that.
He is also Juliet's mother's cousin, if I remember my charts correctly. Anyway, we cut to in the party. After the bathroom, Claire Danes goes and dances with Paul Rudd. But as she kind of gets like separated from him at the party, Leonardo DiCaprio kept stealing her away to the like love's holy kiss, that whole scene from the play. They're just like making out in hallways and good for them.
They're actually in an elevator. Yeah. And they're like going from floor to floor. It's just because when the doors close is like the only time people aren't around them because the party's like fucking packed. So, yeah, they're like stealing kisses in these like little moments in between them going between the floors.
Yep. It's like Gatsby.
It's funny you should say that because he did a version of Gatsby too.
I was going to say, I was like,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, they are found out. They all leave the party, or at least the Montagues all leave the party.
With Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. I, in truth, don't like Gatsby that much. Like, it's one of my least favorite books that I've read.
Really?
But
I like Gatsby.
Yeah. I just don't care for the story. But I realize a lot of people do. I'm not, whatever. It's not my fave. But I like that version of the movie because it's like campy and silly. Anyway.
I think I only saw that movie once. I like barely remember it. I liked the book though.
I like the book. I like the Robert Redford one. I like that one too. I like Gatsby. I like it. I think my boy, what's his face, can tell a mean guy who can't get over one girl kind of story.
I mean, that is for Scott Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
F. Scott. I know it's F. Scott. I just like saying for Scott.
For Scott.
For Scott Fitzgerald. I do. And hey, come at me. I don't have time to answer comments about this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I feel like Saltburn is horror Gatsby.
Okay.
Right?
I can see that.
You can see that?
I felt a lot of Gatsby vibes on that. But then his one that got away was a conscious or soul or emotion.
Yeah. Well, he is definitely a serial killer.
I don't remember Nick Carraway drinking a bathtub full of cum.
I mean, that's they don't include
Nick would never do that. Gatsby would do anything to get back with what's her face, the green light.
That's fucking right. Also, it's not a bathtub full of cum. It's just there was some cum in the water and then the bathtub drained and he licked the drain. And honestly, don't lick drains in general, cum or otherwise. Drains are gross.
No one has ever said anything about Saltburn that made me think I'd like to watch it.
You'd hate it.
I don't think you'll like it. You'd hate it. I vibe with it. Like Jake and I both watched it. We were like, this kind of slapped. I kind of liked it. But I understand other people not feeling the same way. And that's okay. He also eats a girl out on her period. Spoilers.
Which Gatsby would do any of those things to get with, I forgot her name.
Gatsby is single. What's her name?
Gatsby got around a little bit, but he had one goal. He did everything in his life to get back with that woman. He
Count of Monte Cristo's himself, basically.
But not, that ends well for him, right? Doesn't it?
Oh, God, no. Revenge is bad for everybody, but...
Who are you, Batman? What are we doing?
Yeah, I don't know. We got off a tangent. Anyway, you guys started talking about Gatsby, and we spiraled.
That's fair.
Back to this movie. They're stealing kisses, but then the Montagues decide to leave because they're like, this party's getting hot. I ain't trying to get into no shit tonight. Let's go. But Romeo's like, no, I am in love with someone I just met, which, no. But that's what he thinks. And so he goes to the balcony.
Exactly. But his version of like, I'm in love with this girl is like, she hot.
Yeah.
Like she was hot and she seemed into me. Like that's his version of in love.
Yeah.
And they never really get past that stage.
No, because they are young and this only lasts a couple days. But so they go to the balcony. He goes to the balcony and it is the butt soft with light through yonder window breaks. It is.
Yes.
The one we all know and love.
Except it's at the pool, not the balcony.
Well, she comes down and then into the pool.
The elevator. Yeah.
Which is very hot. No complaints.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's great.
I think these two kids are going to be pretty and famous when they grow up.
Hey, all I'm saying is like this era Leonardo DiCaprio, I think all of us would have enjoyed being wet and pressed up against him.
I'm a hardcore disagree with you on that.
Would you say that to Gilbert Grape?
I mean, way to wreck it.
That's this era. That's this era.
That's before. This is Titanic era Leo, which again, I still not have not seen.
Paige, we're going to have to do a two-parter on that bitch.
I know, like, I know.
There's a lot going on in that movie.
It's a lot. It's
and a Mikey's going to have a lot to say about the specific town that built the boat, the Titanic.
Oh, God. We can't.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Anyway, they are like, okay, well, I'll see you. I'll send a message to you tomorrow. Don't worry about it. I'm going to talk to a priest. We're going to figure it out. The next day, Leonardo DiCaprio goes to the apothecary slash priest in this film, who is the only one speaking in iambic pentameter. It is very nice.
Had a lot of little boys around him.
Yeah, he's a priest. You're right.
Mm-hmm. He's a priest. He has singing sensation Quindin Tarver singing the cover of When Doves Cry, but then also singing Everybody's Free at the end. Gorgeous. Gorgeous voice. That is the whole reason I bought the soundtrack, is that cover of When Doves Cry.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good.
Fucking slaps.
This
is where he's like, hey, will you marry us? And he's like, two teenagers that want to enter into legal binding documents? Sure, let's go. And he's like, perfect. We'll get the message to Juliet and then we will get hitched. So he goes to the beach where he runs into Mercutio and Benvolio. And he's like, I'm happy. Who's Rosaline? I don't care anymore. I am still coming down from my Molly high. And
he is. I mean, he hasn't been to bed. Like, he stayed up all night, fallen in love with Juliet when he said maybe literally 80 words to her.
Sure.
Not like, even.
Not even.
Like, it's not love. It's just like, hey, there's a girl who's hot, who's into me energy.
Oh, I fell in love with the hottest girl my age at the party. That old story.
Mikey, hey, how many times have you done that while 15?
I don't trust a hot person.
But that's true. Mikey doesn't trust hot people.
They want my kidney.
That's true.
Or my emotional validation.
Mostly kidneys, though.
That's what
but
it is.
If you're out there and have done Molly for a night, thought you fell in love with someone, and then got up the next day to try and do errands, you might empathize with Romeo in this film. Because that's not the best time to be making life decisions.
No, because you might realize who you fell in love with was just a really furry wall you were rubbed up against.
It's happened to the best of us.
Look, I had that great first date, and then I remember that she told me she read Mein Kampf and wanted to read it again. And then, like, I was like, wait a minute, that's a huge red flag.
The thing that's funny about that is an actual story. Like, that happened to you.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think it got cut out of the episode we talked about it in. I don't remember if it did or not.
I don't know if it did or not, but
it's okay.
That's recent, though. Like, that's within the past 2 months, right?
Sadly, best date I've been on in, like, 8 weeks.
Oh, no. Maybe it was flirty fishing, Paige.
Oh, God. Ugh, they do flirty fish, the white supremacists, but only for other whites. So they're just like, we want to perpetuate the peanut allergies. Our weaknesses are strength. No. It's bad. Don't do that. Diversity helps everyone. Anyway, so the nurse shows up at the beach and is just like, Juliet says that she'll marry you if you guys want to get married. And he's like, well, that's perfect because I just scheduled our wedding.
Yeah.
What up?
At this point, I would have been out at that trailer out of town because I'd be like, whoa, we made out in a pool.
And she sent her nurse
to say, I will marry you. I'd be like, I'm already rich.
Anywho, he's like, of course, I will meet her there. And the nurse is like, okay, fine, I will go tell her. So the nurse goes back, and this is where we get the Cardigans song, the like, love me, love me. And she's like getting dressed, like, oh my, I'm gonna get married. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Which is the funniest part of Hot Fuzz, where they just do the last scene with all the like fluorescent lights. And he's like, and with this gun, I die. Love me, say that. And the whole cast is dancing. It is the best. It's such a great cutaway. Anyway, so she's going to get married. They get married in the church. She is wearing a wild 90s like shirt, dress, vest sort of situation. And also, how did she get? Oh, I guess her nurse must have taken her. But I was like, this seems oddly convenient. And like, they didn't have to hide from anyone at all. But fine.
Well, she already had leave to go to confession or whatever. So like,
oh, that's right. No, you're right.
Her parents thought she was going to confession. And she probably pulled off one of those like changing in the car type situations because does like show up in a full ass like wedding ass dress kind of thing, you know?
Well, it's a white dress.
Well, yeah. But like, what is she, a ghost in South Korea, Paige? Like, everybody knows that means she's getting married today.
Liz Lemon, why are you wearing white? Did a Korean person die?
She is literally going to meet the most badass priest I've ever seen and get married to a guy she just met.
Yeah. She's like, forgive me, Father, for I'm about to sin a bunch all night long. I guess if you're married, it's not a sin.
It would be a marriage. Yeah. It would be very good. Yeah. Thing for everyone.
I mean,
that's why they had to get married, man.
They're still teenagers. I mean, this is why a lot of people get married. And I'm here to tell you, don't get married if that's the only reason.
Don't do that, guys.
I almost got married to seal an alliance between a rival gang and my family's gang. But unfortunately, it didn't work out.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Pizzeria Sbarro is still single, if you're still interested.
Of the Vermont Pizzeria Sbarros.
Oh, my God. Am I the next pick?
No, I'm the next pick. Oh. I don't know what I'm going to do, though.
Okay,
so
good,
if you,
I have picked my pick.
You're not going to do After Two Electric Afterloo?
I might do my favorite version of Romeo and Juliet, where it's about two rival pizza places.
Oh, Mikey, I know exactly what you're talking about.
With Hayden Christensen?
Yes, it's fucking terrible.
Oh, the one they shot entirely in Toronto and like dyed his hair poorly black?
Mikey, do you want me to pick it instead so you can pick After? I will do that for you.
Uh-huh. I'll pick After my next six picks if we do it.
Is the movie is called Little Italy, right?
Little Italy.
Let me make sure it's streaming.
It is called Little Italy.
It's everywhere for free. I had a huge crush on Hayden Christensen back in the day. I will willingly pick that.
I'm a big fan of his.
He did this one indie movie that I was weirdly obsessed with that I think is actually really, really good about...
Star Wars? Yeah.
No. It's called Shattered Glass, but it's about...
A journalist. Yeah.
A journalist who lied about every story he ever wrote. It's a really good movie.
It's a really good film, but he got Star Wars cursed for like 10 years.
Yeah, he did.
Anyway, so... they get married. Meanwhile, on the beach, the Capulets and the Montagues are out and they are trading insults. And who should run up but Romeo? And then Tybalt says one of my favorite lines. And I feel like in the play, it doesn't carry as much weight as this movie because John Leguizamo delivers it fucking wild. And like, it's the one thing I remember about his character in this movie every time, where he just says, Romeo, thou art a villain. And you're like, oh my God. Ooh,
I know.
Creepy.
He says it like it's an actual fucking insult. Like by saying that, he is like gonna scandalize the people around that hear him say that. That is how he delivers that line, Paige. And I agree. He crushes it.
Well, let's say hypothetically someone you made angry on a date posts and says you're a villain on a Facebook group full of single women in your city.
Oh my God, Mikey. I completely forgot about that.
It can work pretty effectively as a cyberbullying / insult kind of technique.
Thou art a villain.
That was just not a hero.
I can't believe she attacked you on that Are We Dating the Same Guy in Nashville Facebook forum in iambic pentameter.
It happens.
Mikey, thou art a villain.
One man's hero is another man's villain. I don't know.
Yeah.
Great men never have no enemies is what the...
Chaos is a ladder, as we learned.
Chaos is a ladder.
As Littlefinger once said, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's our phrase of the day. Anyway, Mercutio goes to draw and Tybalt also draws and Romeo gets in the middle and is like, hey, we're not going to fight.
Well, yeah, because he pulls up right there and he sees them and he runs up and tries to like separate them and stop them. And Tybalt is like not having it.
Yeah.
Because he's not a good dude.
No, Tybalt is what we would call reactionary. And
yeah.
They get into like an all out fight. He falls through a pane of broken glass. And he reaches up with that pane of glass, like a shard of it, and stabs Mercutio.
Yeah, he, like, slices his stomach, which, like, if that happened today, he'd probably be fine if he got medical treatment immediately.
Sure.
Well, it's also on the left side, and there's really nothing over there except, like,
appendix.
So you're saying he was doing him a favor, Paige? Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to get stabbed on the left. The right side's liver. Liver's bad. Don't get stabbed in the liver.
Oh, okay. So cheat left if somebody's ever trying to stab at you. And leave the knife in.
Yeah.
I have heard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And take a selfie, because, like, what a cool pic that would be, right?
Oh my God, I got fucking stabbed. Like and subscribe.
If I ever get stabbed or shot, I'm like totally storying it up on my, like, oh, I've been shot.
AMA.
Anonymous AMA is what it would be, though, Paige.
Which I will not be leaving the hospital under.
Nailed it, Mikey. That was great.
AMA jokes.
Yeah.
Dozens of people have laughed.
All the nurses you've dated have just laughed for the first time while I hate listening to this podcast.
Hooray.
That one guy who laughed at my Ninja Turtle joke last week is laughing right now.
It actually was more than one guy. There were a bunch of people that said on Facebook they loved that joke.
Because they all know that Donatello's a fucking nerd and Raphael is the best.
Yeah. And Leo is what Chads love. There's a version of Ninja Turtles where they all get murdered except Michelangelo, and it becomes like an ultimate John Wick badass.
Yes.
And it's called The Last Ronin. They're making a thing about it.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be good.
The actual, like, comic books are great. The movies are largely shit after the first three.
Yeah.
It's like Walking Dead. The books were good.
Yeah.
The comic was good.
Anyway, so Mercutio's dead. And now Romeo loses his shit, and now he kills Tybalt, or he's got to kill Tybalt, but Tybalt runs away. So he gets in his car, crashes his car into him.
This is like straight up Grand Theft Auto, Verona Beach.
Yes.
Like, it's crazy.
They get out of the cars.
Because they do crash the car playing chicken.
Yes.
And then, like, there's this, like, really emotionally crazy exchange where, like,
yes,
Tybalt pulls his gun on Romeo, who's, like, walking towards him after the car crash. And he's like, Tybalt's more or less like, stop coming at me. I'm going to shoot you.
I'm going to shoot
and
you.
And then Romeo's like, either me or you or both of us have to go with Mercutio.
Yeah, it's the very famous line of, like, Mercutio's soul hangs in the heavens above us. Either thou or I or both must go with him. Yeah.
It is such an insane, like, that's an insane line to say to anybody.
It's great. Hardcore. It goes hard. And
it's so well delivered. It's so well acted. But, like, it visibly freaks Tybalt out that he's like, oh my God, this dude must have been fucking Mercutio, right? Am I right?
I just don't like this glorification of gang violence from 1624. I don't love it.
I also, I'm going to say, when you're coming down from psychedelics, hallucinogens, there can be an emotional adjustment period, and you should not operate firearms during that time.
Or get married to someone you met the night before. What is this, Britney in Vegas in 2004?
Hey, she was acting out. She had never been allowed freedom before.
George Costanza.
Yeah, no. Jason Alexander.
It wasn't George Costanza.
But his name is Jason Alexander.
I love that you think she married fucking George Costanza from Seinfeld when the dude's name just happened to be Jason Alexander, which is the same name as the guy who played George Costanza on Seinfeld.
That is how I remember, though.
That right there is exactly the way Mikey's brain works.
Yes. Yeah.
ADHD.
I love that.
And I appreciate it.
Yeah, same. It's so great.
I like picturing Britney with George Costanza every time.
Me too. I feel like he would have treated her better.
Maybe.
Than JT, at least.
Oh, villain. Justin Timberlake, thou art a villain.
I have tickets to see him here.
You need to make a poster board that says that and bring it.
Thou art a villain. I'm sure a bunch of people are going to go, but I also feel like only his first two albums are good.
Yeah, that's why I go to see all the bands I go to see.
They got two good albums and they're like, that's fine.
Name a band that has like seven good albums.
Lady Gaga, Beyonce. I guess those are
people, not bands. I don't know if he meant all musicians, but
Elton John.
None of those were bands.
I mean, again, these are single people. None of them are bands.
Single people too. I mean, like,
oh, okay. Then all those would count. Yeah.
Yeah, because Justin Timberlake's a single person. So is Pitbull.
Yeah.
I like singles. I don't like albums. I'm like, just release the two songs that are good. I don't need the 10 others.
I mean, sometimes there are some gems in those 10s.
Sometimes not.
Sometimes not, but I would say a lot of times there are.
J-Lo just canceled her Nashville tour spot.
She canceled a bunch of stuff due to no interest. Literally, she's just not selling tickets. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because we could just go listen to Christina Milian instead.
You know who did sell out? Juvenile.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Me either. I get it.
Mad I couldn't go.
You know who's selling tickets like crazy? Fucking Ludacris. And I am so happy for him.
My buddy Chris Bridges is doing well. That's
Chris,
great to hear.
Ludacris Bridges.
I wish he'd act more.
I saw him at concert last summer. And
I
it
know.
Was fantastic.
I'm still jealous.
Oh, that's right. You went with your brother. I remember. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, back to this movie. So
anyway, we also cut from like Tybalt and Romeo like fighting literally to the death to like Claire Danes as Juliet. Like, I just got married and I haven't been fucked yet. Like, she's like having that conversation with herself while we're watching Romeo kill her cousin. It's like,
right,
insane.
Well, and we cut back to like she's having that conversation. Then we cut to her mom being mad because like Tybalt is dead. It's her cousin and the police are mad. They're hunting Romeo in copters. And he runs to the priest.
He's got 5 stars on Grand Theft Auto right now.
100%, yes.
I'm not super close with my cousin, so like this isn't a deal breaker for me.
It depends on the cousin.
It sounds like he might be doing some of y'all a favor.
I mean, yeah, depending on the cousin. Anyway, he goes to the priest and the priest is like, go get that puss and then we'll figure it out.
Yeah, he, like, he is sort of like that vibe. This is where he gives him the that Hawaiian shirt he's wearing pretty much the rest of the movie too, because it's originally his shirt,
right?
But yeah, like he very much is like, hey man, the prince is gonna like banish you or whatever. He's actually like, oh wait, did we say that the prince banished him?
So that happened literally in the scene before, and the prince from the helicopter is like, all are punished, Romeo will be banished, and you're like, all right.
Yeah. So like Romeo gets there to the priest's place, and Romeo's like, oh, I fucked up my life by killing Tybalt. Like, it's over. They should kill me. I'd rather be dead than banished. And the priest is like, bro, your life's on fucking easy street. You got to kill your enemy, and you're not.
Yes, you killed your main enemy.
Yeah, and you're not in trouble for it. You're just banished.
Right.
Be happy about that. You married a beautiful woman. Be happy about that. Like, he's like, I don't know. I see a lot of positives. And he's the one that sets up, like, go to, what is that?
Mantua.
Go to Mantua. I'll set it all up. We'll figure it out. And in his mind, the priest is like, them getting married is going to solve all the violence in the city, right?
Right,
because
right,
he's like,
right.
They're going to like join the families together. I think that that is his motivation. He's like, I'm going to sort this out because he wants to do something good. Like, I really do think the priest is a good guy.
Sure.
And like, it just fucking backfires because he can't get FedEx to deliver a package. And that to me is so funny.
Yep.
Well, the plan is a little convoluted here.
Yeah, it's insane. But like,
this is not a good plan in any measure of plans.
No, because Juliet, after this next scene, should leave with Romeo.
Yes.
And they should just go to Mantua and be happy.
Any plan. Listeners, listen to me. Any plan that involves faking a death is not a good plan.
It's
don't
always
do that
bad.
Plan.
Yeah. Faking a death or a kidnapping, all of that's bad.
Very hard to pull off. Don't do it.
Hey, I plan on doing it someday. So just like, I know what you're saying, but like, I'm going to do me. One day you're going to get a notification that I died, but really, I'm living out my days as a pirate in a Patagonia. Like, that's, it's just going to be me.
I get the vibe that you'd want to like Tom Sawyer, Huck Finn, your wedding. You'd be like in
absolutely.
The rafters listening.
You mean
down.
My funeral?
That's 100%. Oh, that's what I meant. Yeah, not wedding, funeral. Sorry.
Not me. I'll just set my Facebook to memorial mode and just walk off and let people think I died, and then I didn't.
That's like the walking off into the sunset of our generation.
Yeah.
Putting your like legally still alive, legally having a job, but everybody's like, have you checked his Instagram? Like, he died. Anyway, don't fake your death. I don't have a lot to talk about this episode, so I'm trying.
Or do fake your death and tell everyone that you're baked into the lasagna at your funeral and then watch them like not enjoy eating it.
Now that, you know,
and then you
I've
get to eat all the
around.
Leftover
yeah,
lasagna.
Yeah, come back around. Or just kill her whole family.
Oh, God. There are easier solutions is what we're saying, Paige. She could go with them. He could just kill all of them, which they've probably tried to have been doing that for years.
Well, they're terrible at it. They live next door to each other, according to this film.
They live in the same city. They're not next door to each other.
No, the towers are next to each other.
Yeah, they're next to each other.
I mean, okay, so like guilty as charged, I suppose. Like their corporate offices are across the street, yes.
Yeah. All it takes is just like one sniper.
Maybe instead of using a Rapier brand gun, they should use a fucking Glock.
How dare you? The guns in this movie are perfect.
They're labeled for children. It's like, this is a 9mm on the side of the gun.
The guns have jewelry on them, Mikey, and then they spin them around and it's beautiful. It's crazy.
Todd, I'm going to tell you something. You would love the cartels.
What do you mean?
Or gun kata.
What do you mean what I mean? The cartels have guns like this. They use guns like this.
This is a real thing. These guns exist.
Oh, awesome. I want one.
You're like, I reverse all my stances on gun control as long as I have one of these pretty cool guns.
Oh, I would never buy bullets for it. Are you kidding me?
I want you to join a cartel.
They would never let him in, but they could. They're like, how many kilos could we fit in those layers?
Ooh.
And Todd be like, I don't know how to measure a kilo. I'm from America.
I also do want to point out that I literally got back from Miami this morning and I'm going again in 2 days for like almost a week. So like,
you need to Google cartel guns. They're like even more gaudy than these guns.
Oh yeah, they're wild.
Oh, I have some Googling to do.
They're Call of Duty level skins of guns.
I'm pulling some up right now. Will you let me share my screen?
Fuck yes, I will. Are you kidding me?
You're about to have your mind fucking blown. Oh my God, there's one that looks like R2-D2.
What? Does it make the sound when it shoots?
No, I think it just kills people. Yeah, you pointed at things, you want to die. Share screen.
Oh, and like there's a lot of casual like gunplay where like you're pointing guns at your friend in this movie. Like the gun safety in this movie is off the charts bad. I'm not saying it's as bad as the production of Rust, but like, it's bad.
Here's the R2-D2 one.
I don't like the R2-D2 one. I like the golden one.
Look at that steampunk looking one. Mm-hmm. Shit, that looks awesome, Mikey. Guys.
I know. Look at that AK.
Look at this big shotgun one. This diamond AKs.
I have a question right now.
Oh, that looks fucking dope.
Yeah, no, these look awesome. Guys, I think we need to get Exhibit and call MTV.
To pimp a gun?
Yes.
So you want to be a player, but your gun ain't fly. You need to pimp my gun.
Because I want to see Exhibit turn someone's gun into the one thing we learn about that person every episode.
You need to hit us up to get a pimped out Gat.
Anyway, Todd.
Yeah.
I bet it's possible to buy a gun like that at a gun show.
I ain't going to go to a gun show.
I bet they're very expensive.
They are probably expensive.
I'm never going to buy one either, and I don't really want one. I just think they look cool as shit. I also like ornate swords and stuff. Like, it's just cool.
You just a bougie-ass bitch.
I don't, like, Mikey, I don't ever want to own one. They're just cool looking.
I can't. Anytime someone says, I like ornate swords, I just like, ugh.
But I would never own one.
How many times have you heard someone say the phrase, I like ornate swords? This has to be the only time.
No, I mean like the swords
no,
from...
No, guys, Paige, you don't hang... Guys by themselves are terrible.
The swords from The Princess Bride are awesome. You cannot say they're not.
I have exclusively had sex with men who own swords, so I know about your sword obsession as a gender. I understand.
I've never owned a sword, but I understand the appeal is all I'm saying.
There are swords in my home because of this.
For basic protection. Yeah, I mean, obviously, Paige.
Melee weapons, of course.
Isn't it pronounced melee, Mikey? Isn't that what you said?
Melee.
Melee.
No, I know. It was like, that's an old joke, but Mikey melee. Once said melee instead of melee.
I don't remember that.
Anyway, so meanwhile, back at Juliet's house, Paul Rudd is there like, hey, can I like marry your daughter? And they're like, yeah, how about Thursday? And he's like, Thursday sounds great. Meanwhile, Leonardo DiCaprio is balls fucking deep.
Yeah. Meanwhile, that conversation about can I marry your daughter was between Paul Rudd and Juliet's dad. Like, it is like a business negotiation.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is from old times.
Yeah.
But yeah, meanwhile, Romeo getting in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think they have chemistry. I'll just say it that way. Like,
sure, of course.
They are into it.
Yeah.
But so was I my first time or whatever.
I would hope everyone has a first time where they are into it. That would be my hope for people.
I mean, I was into it, literally.
Yeah.
What I thought was really messed up is like when, like right before he comes back, he like reveals to Juliet that it was all a dare.
That real dare makes way more sense in the plot that they said it in the Facebook group.
I know. I told Todd about it while you were on the phone, but you read it in the Facebook group.
Yeah, yeah. I saw him post about it too. Yeah, because it does make way more sense.
But it makes it the movie even funnier.
For you guys to understand what we're talking about, if you did not follow this wild conversation leap, in the Facebook group, people informed us that in After, the movie we watched last week, in the fan fiction version of it, the dare is for him to take her virginity, and he uses her sheets to prove that, which is way more fucked up than as it is depicted in the film. And I would understand her being angry.
I still don't even understand how that works.
Sex, Mikey? You don't understand how that works?
No, like most guys his age probably have dirty sheets at 18. You know what I'm saying?
Michael, do I have to explain this to you?
I think you might have to, Paige.
Okay, Michael. We bleed the first time a lot of the time.
Not every woman
not
bleeds
every person
the first
does.
Time. Yeah,
I mean.
Like,
I did not, but many do. But it's one of those things that's held up as like proof of virginity, even though not everyone does. And if you, I would say if you have had a successful, pleasurable encounter, sometimes that can mitigate it. Not always, but sometimes. But yeah, that it's fucked up.
I'm just saying, I wouldn't take it as evidence because you can just throw blood on a sheet and be like, look, I did it. And I'd be like, I don't buy that, bro. I ain't paying your $500.
I don't believe it till I see it.
Yeah. Like,
I need to watch it going in. Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying, if you're going to be, this is getting
also,
all
also, virginity
track.
Is a construct. We can't get into it. This is a long, we will be here all day.
Because that tears when you like exercise sometimes. Like it's like it's such a like a subjective.
I wore tampons as a teenager, so like I mean like it can.
You fucking hussy.
Whatever. Some people just don't even fucking have them, and it's like not. It's fine. It shouldn't be a measure of anything. Everyone's body is a little bit different.
It's okay. I bled from my nose the first time I smelled a pretty girl's hair.
Mikey, you got too close too quick.
I don't know if that joke's ever. It's funny or not. But,
but I used her hat to prove that I got close. Like,
I have her hair tie stained with my blood.
Anyway, so he leaves in the morning. And as soon as he leaves, the nurse and her mom come in and are like, you get to marry Paul Rudd. And she's just like, no, never. And it's like, it's Paul Rudd, girl. Like,
you could do worse. And the nurse sort of says that. She's like, you'll be happy in your second marriage. Like, he's a prince or whatever, and it's fucking yeah. Paul Rudd, and I have it on good authority that he's going to look exactly like this in, like, 30 years or something.
Yeah, except when he cheats on you with his stepsister.
But about that, Juliet will remain clueless, Mikey. Nailed it!
Mm-hmm. Isn't his dad in that film, her dad in that film, one of these dudes?
No, but he looks like one of those dudes, so I understand why you would think that.
Okay.
But also, they just should have told her that Paul Rudd found the cup of the carpenter in the Temple of the Crescent Moon, and that's why he doesn't age.
That checks out.
He's going to have that hairline forever. Anyway, they go to church to like figure out shit for their wedding, and she pulls the priest aside and is like, I will fucking shoot myself! Unless you come up with a plan, which
and
is
he's like, well, since you're willing to die, are you willing to pretend to die? Is more or less the vibe of that conversation, yeah. But it's poetry.
Yes, exactly. And she's like, fine. Okay, so they come up with a plan. She's going to pretend to die. They're going to let Romeo know. He's going to come back, break her out of the grave. They're going to go back to Mantua and live off the rest of their life in peace. And then maybe go for a drink at the pub. But it doesn't get to Romeo in time. So she drinks the poison. Everyone thinks she's dead. They have a funeral. It's so sad. Paul Rudd cries, even though that might give him fine lines and wrinkles. Meanwhile, at Romeo's trailer, he misses the messenger because Swim Fan comes and tells him and fucks everything up. And so he's like, oh, no, she's dead. So he goes back and is like, she's dead. Poison it is. And as he's drinking the poison, she wakes up and he's like, no. And so then she shoots herself in a very cool neon church. And
it's awful. The movie.
Well, no, I mean, they do have the like everyone lost both alike and dignity. And that's the movie.
You just like summarize the last 20 minutes of the movie in like probably 30 seconds right there.
I loved it.
That you could trim it. You could heavily trim the last 20 minutes of this film.
Disagree. Every frame is perfect.
You hear that, Shakespeare?
I know. It's literal Shakespeare. And Paige is like, ah, I got notes.
No, hey, okay, there's very few lines in that 20 minutes. It's a lot of like slow shots of her coffin.
It's so great.
And also in the play, if this was accurate to the play, Paul Rudd would have confronted Romeo at the grave and Leonardo DiCaprio would have killed him. Yeah. He would have died next to Juliet and then Romeo would have died. And it's a whole thing. Anyway, and that's the movie.
It is. Yeah. So having seen the movie and having talked about the movie, what'd you guys think about Romeo plus Juliet?
Still love it.
Not for me.
That's fine.
Also, don't think about ending your life because of you met a girl at a party.
Hey, no other person is worth ending your life over, period. Your life, you have no idea what your life could be. It could get so much better. It could change. You could find new people that you love. There are endless possibilities because you aren't psychic and you don't know the future.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But also, like, the Shakespeare guy, overrated, I think.
You're more
this
of a
this sounds like
Marlowe
more
guy.
Of a Christopher Marlowe.
Right. Yeah, I get it. No, I mean, I love this movie. I don't think you should change the frame of it. I probably hadn't seen it in about 15 years. And upon revisiting it on a plane next to two strangers, I realized I should be watching this, like, yearly. This, like, really put me in touch with, like, who I want to be as a person.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I knew you were going to say that when I said that. It's just, like, it's very much me as a vibe. If you want to know, like, how my brain sees the world, it's this way.
Okay.
So, Paige, do you have any fun facts for us?
Yes.
Well, hit us with your fun facts. Juliet, fun facts.
So, key hairstylist on the film, Aldo Signoretti, was actually kidnapped by gang members and held for a $300 ransom, which Baz Luhrmann paid.
Hell yeah, Baz.
Leonardo DiCaprio's performance of Romeo's speech at Juliet's grave was so good that Claire Danes kept crying, so they had to keep cutting because she's supposed to be in a coma.
Oh my God, that's so great. And you know what, Claire Danes? Same.
He does a beautiful job.
So
and I do
good.
Think that's why the camera's on him most of the time and she is out of frame, because they could not get enough takes with her not crying.
I mean, I would buy that. Everyone does a great job acting in this movie. It's nailed.
Yes. Now, when they went to go shoot the fish tank, there was a problem. The room was too dark and they kept getting people's reflections because the light sources were outside the fish tank instead of inside the fish tank.
Yeah.
So they had to insert lights into the fish tank and darken the rest of the room so that they didn't have reflections and they could actually shoot between the fish tanks. But it was like a huge problem on set.
I'm sure, because they actually need those reflections that you're talking about, though, because that's how you're seeing Juliet when you're seeing, like,
right.
When your principal is Leonardo DiCaprio and vice versa, right?
Right.
So, yeah, like, that's a good way to solve for it, though. That's great.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, like, really awesome, obviously, in the lens. Like,
yes.
Not special effects, but just, like, very cool, like, settings and like color palette tones and stuff. Like, yeah. It's all really well, like, thought out, which I like.
The cinematographer's name is Donald McAlpine.
He fucking crushed it.
An amazing job, especially working with, I would say your gaffing team probably deserves a huge shout out to you, because there's a ton of different types of light sources in this movie.
Yeah.
And they make all of them look good at the same time, which is very difficult to do.
Yeah.
The gas station scene in the beginning took 7 days to film.
What?
With 2 days of pickups and reshoots.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, but that gas station scene is iconic, though, man. Like, I remembered almost every bit of that, not having seen it in 15 years.
Sure.
All the way down to, like, John Leguizamo crushing that match with his heel of his boot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Such a good shot.
Now, Paul Rudd and Leonardo DiCaprio were on set at the same time, but only for a couple days. And so on the last day that Paul Rudd was there, he and Leonardo DiCaprio finally got a chance to talk. They were on their way to a bar to celebrate his last day. And Leo mentioned that he'd been reading the script, but he wasn't sure if he was going to take it because it was about some old boat. And Paul Rudd was like, I am a huge Titanic nerd. You should definitely take that role. And Leo did. And thus we got Titanic.
That's awesome.
Leonardo DiCaprio also fought for Claire Danes to win the role of Juliet because she was the only actress to look him straight in the eye during the audition.
I like that.
No shit. Okay. I mean, Claire Danes is amazing. Like,
she's great in this.
Yeah.
This movie runs for exactly 2 hours, which is in line with the prologue that says, this is now the 2 hours traffic of our stage. That is a change from the play, but it does reflect the exact length of the film.
That's awesome.
In Australia, Baz Luhrmann's native country, this soundtrack was the second highest selling album of the year, going platinum 5 times. It also did extremely well in America.
Yeah.
As mentioned, Todd and I both own it.
Yeah. Well, owned it. I got rid of all my physical media, but yeah, now I just listen to it all the time on Spotify.
Oh, I have this. I was going to say, I had this in person, and then I own it digitally now.
Nice.
Now, Radiohead, Baz Luhrmann wanted Radiohead to do a song for the end credits, so they composed the song Exit Music for a Film, which does appear on their 1997 album OK Computer, but the way that they wrote the song is Baz Luhrmann sent them the last 20 minutes of the film.
No shit.
As like a rough cut and asked them to write a song about it.
Awesome.
Yep. Now, the reason John Leguizamo has all the gunplay in this movie is because Shakespeare describes Tybalt's swordsmanship as showy. So to transform this, they have him do flamboyant gunplay. He worked with a choreographer named John O'Connell to create a flamenco-inspired gun style.
Awesome. Benvolio and Mercutio both do some gunplay stuff, too, that's like really well done. Like, they must have rehearsed a lot for that.
Yeah.
It's great.
Claire Danes wears a wig throughout this movie. And also had a specific wig for the pool so that it would stay on her head. There you go.
I'd imagine why that would be difficult, because it weighs your hair down, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had trouble funding this movie initially. And so Leonardo DiCaprio was already attached. And in order to get the requisite funding to complete the film, he flew to Australia on his own dime and performed a live audition video with Baz Luhrmann that then was sent to backers for the film.
Awesome. Okay.
Because at this point, people don't realize this is pre-Titanic, but Leonardo DiCaprio had already done Gilbert Grape. He had been on Growing Pains. He was already famous by this time.
I mean, he was not nearly as famous as he would eventually become, obviously, but like,
sure,
he was a known figure.
No, he won an Oscar for Gilbert Grape.
I know. Like, he's super famous now.
Oh, yeah, of course. But he's also been alive a lot longer. But yeah, yes, yeah, like at the time. So the Jesus statue that dominates Verona, much like the statue in Rio, is kind of what it looks like.
It does look like sort of a nod to that one. It's not.
Yes.
But yeah.
It's not. It's a visual effect. That statue was actually only 2 feet high, and they would shoot it from different vantage points or shoot it on its own and insert it into the city.
Awesome.
So, yeah. Claire Danes and Leonardo DiCaprio, even though he fought for her to get the role, they initially did not get along well on set.
Really?
Yeah, she felt like he was immature and he said she was uptight. Eventually they get along, but initially not so much. When Tybalt's car rolls over, the roll cage inside the car collapsed, almost killing the stunt driver.
What?
So that was a very dangerous set, a very dangerous stunt that they do use that take, the one that it like crushed it.
You do see it, like it does crush, but like I thought it was planned, you know?
Yeah, no, the roll cage caved in and that was not supposed to happen. As we mentioned, Pete Postlethwaite, I'm probably not saying that last name correctly, but the actor who plays Father Lawrence, he is the only actor speaking in iambic pentameter.
Oh, so he is then?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, at the ball, all the major characters wear costumes that reflect their personalities. Romeo's a knight, Juliet's an angel, Tybalt's a devil, Capulet's an emperor. Of course, his wife is Cleopatra, like an empress.
Yeah.
And then you have Paris, who is an astronaut. But I think part of that's because he's supposed to be like a tech mogul in this version.
I also thought it was because he was like spacey and like aloof and like sort of doofus.
Yeah, or he's like out of the world of the movie. Like he's not really connected to what's going on, maybe.
Yeah.
This is the highest grossing live action William Shakespeare adaptation to date.
Because it's the best, clearly.
I don't know that it's the best. I think there have been some really good ones, but this is the highest grossing one for sure.
Yeah.
Mercutio did not originally go to Harold Perrineau. They also considered Ewan McGregor, Christian Bale, John Leguizamo even for Mercutio. But also, Benicio del Toro was considered for Tybalt. So there was a potential version of this with Leguizamo as Mercutio and Benicio del Toro as Tybalt.
Ooh, I think that would have worked real well.
I think it would have worked too, man. They're both great.
I do too, but I do love Mercutio in this movie. Me Harold too. Perrineau
he's
is
so
amazing.
Good. Yeah, he's amazing.
Yes. Leonardo DiCaprio was Baz Luhrmann's first choice to play Romeo. He's the first person attached. So he was actually attached to this from pre-production all the way through. But Claire Danes was not the only one considered for Juliet. They also considered Sarah Michelle Gellar, Jennifer Love Hewitt, Aaliyah, Kate Winslet, because this is pre-Titanic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Christina Ricci. All of them were potentially considered for Juliet. However, Sarah Michelle Gellar was still in All My Children, so she wasn't able to film it. Aaliyah felt like she didn't feel like she was ready to step into acting at this level yet because Shakespeare is a bit of a jump.
Yeah.
And so she chose to pull out. Jennifer Love Hewitt was considered too youthful looking. Natalie Portman was also considered to be a little too young, but she did go and film chemistry tests with Leonardo DiCaprio. And so Luhrmann really fought for Claire Danes as soon as Leonardo DiCaprio felt like she had the best chemistry. And everyone was kind of weirded out by the casting of Paul Rudd because he was 26 and everyone else was like 19. But it's also Paul Rudd. He's ageless. So
he does seem a little bit more adult than like Romeo and like Juliet, but he seems like he might be, you know, 23 and they're 20, you know, like it doesn't seem like that crazy of an age jump.
Sure. So Jamie Kennedy's bruised black eye is real. Jamie Kennedy allegedly got in a fight in a bar in Mexico City right as they started filming, and they were going to cover it up, but Baz Luhrmann liked the look and left it.
I mean, it does, like, he is supposed to be in a gang, you know? Like, it does sort of make sense. If they're quarreling with these Capulets, he'd have a black eye occasionally.
Yeah. Every billboard and advertisement throughout the movie contains quotes from other Shakespeare plays.
Nice.
If you're interested, I'm not going to read through all of them because there are so many of them. But IMDb in their trivia section has a list. Highly recommend looking that up. And that's literally every business, too, is a reference to some other.
Yeah, like Phoenix Gasoline.
Phoenix Gasoline, Rosencrantz's, yeah. Jack Cade's Lemonade, etc. Father Lawrence was originally potentially going to be played by Marlon Brando, but personal family problems took him out of the running. But honestly, I feel like that would have been wild too.
I think Brando at this time, it would not have been good.
Oh no, but wild.
Yeah,
it would have been wild. This is Island of Dr. Monroe, Brando.
I know. This is like the score, like his last movie when they like had to like poorly CGI a smile at the end because he just refused to do it.
Yes. Additionally, and this is, I'll leave you on this one. There was a version of this based on certain auditions that would have had Neil Patrick Harris playing Romeo. Although that was quickly kind of, once Leonardo agreed, they were like, no, it's Leonardo. But Sam Rockwell at one point auditioned for Mercutio. I think that would have also been amazing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Sam Rockwell's really good. Yeah.
Yeah. But those are your fun facts.
Well, think of those fun facts, Paige. Let's talk a little bit about box office. So what do you think the production budget was for Romeo plus Juliet in 1996?
I feel like this was expensive.
Okay.
I'm going to say 20.
All right.
I'm going to say 30.
Okay, guys, it was $14.5 million.
This looks great for $14 million.
It does. That was also in 96. That's like almost 30 years ago. So like that would be like it's like $28.6 million today. So it's not quite double, but it's like getting up there. But this movie came out on November 1st, 1996. It was number one the weekend it came out. It beat the number two movie, Sleepers. The number three movie was High School High. Number four was Larger Than Life. And number five was The Ghost in the Darkness. What do you think Romeo plus Juliet made in its opening weekend, the weekend of November 1st, 96?
I mean, this was huge. So I'm going to say first week, it probably made easily its budget back. So I'm going to say 30.
Okay.
I'm going to say 22.
It actually brought in $11.1 million.
What?
Now, guys, let me, because I don't think even for the 90s, your guys are pretty far off. Like,
yeah.
But this only got a release in 1,200 theaters. And at this time, okay. Like, for instance, Larger Than Life had
Yeah, because it's for dorks. Okay.
Larger Than Life, that was fourth this week, was in 2,400 theaters.
Yeah,
so they were
yeah,
only
yeah.
in, like, about half the theaters in the US and we're still number one. But like if you double the theater count, you'd probably get close to like what you guys were saying, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so in its second week, it was number two in the theaters, being beat by a new movie called Ransom that came out. I think that was a Mel Gibson movie, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Where's my son?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. In its third week, it was fifth. In its fourth week, it was seventh and then ninth and then 10th. But it was in the top 10 for 6 weeks. And it remained in the theaters for 10 more weeks. So it had a 16-week run. But what do you think it made domestically in those 16 weeks?
Domestically in 16 weeks, and it made...
44?
Okay. Mikey, 44?
I'm going to say 38.
Okay. It brought in $44.3 million. Now, it made a shitload overseas.
I'm sure.
It made $101.2 million, which takes the total box office up to $147.5 million.
Let's not forget that every girl I ever knew in high school and college had the DVDs.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Absolutely.
I own it.
I don't even have that figure, but... In the box office alone, if you adjust for inflation, that 147.5 becomes $291.8 million. Like, this movie made a ton of money. But, yeah, that's your box office. So, Mikey, do you want to hit us with that romance scale?
Yeah, our romance scale is a scale of 1 to 4 of how romantic we found the film today. Paige.
It's teenagers that don't actually know each other. I'm going to give it a 1.
Yeah, so Paige, I'm going to give it the same, but I honestly do think they have chemistry. It's just like they never get to like a lovey chemistry, you know?
Sure.
It's just like a I would love to sleep with that person type chemistry, and then they like take their own life. So like it's not romantic. It's a tragedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 1.
Yeah. I think that's, the
that's our romance scale.
But again, this is not a quality scale. It's just the romance, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's a 10. On this 1 through 4 quality scale, if we were, you know, calling it that. I loved this movie. So this week, I made you guys watch Romeo plus Juliet, and you're welcome. Paige, what are you making us watch next week?
Two families, both alike in dignity. In fair little Italy, where we lay our scene.
Finally, I get to have fun again.
I'm excited. I know this movie is terrible. I'll talk about how much of a crush I had on Hayden Christensen back in the day. And we'll get into it. It is Little Italy. And if you're wondering where it's streaming, it's free everywhere because it's bad.
I don't think I hated it as much as other things I've hated.
That's fair.
I honestly feel like they should put that on their poster.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's
I feel like I don't hate it as much as other things I've hated.
You can quote me on Mikey DVD re-release. Yeah.
I feel like you should put on this cover. It should be like, this movie is like pizza. Even when it's bad, it's still pizza.
I believe the stakes are so low that I loved it.
Ooh,
just
stakes.
Like the After series. Well, your homework for next week is to watch the pizzeria version of Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet, which is Little Italy.
Little Italy.
Probably available for free on YouTube because nobody cares.
Permanently fix your hands in the Italian emoji hand motion and watch Little Italy.
Hell yeah. So, Mikey, do you have a review for us to read?
Oh, no, I forgot about that. I was thinking about ordering pizza and watching that movie next week.
That sounds amazing.
I know. I think I do have to order pizza when I watch it.
I'll do it, too. It'll be a thing. We'll post about it on social media. But
yay.
While you're looking up that review, let me read one of our Spotify comments that came out literally today because we're recording this the day we dropped the After episode. And this comment is from Kim. And Kim said, the Romance in the Pod trash raccoon shirt with a possum on it. Now, I buy that. And Kim,
yes.
If someone wants to create that, I guess the text would say, this movie's trash and I'm a raccoon, but it's just a possum and not a raccoon.
Yes.
What if it was a possum with like, you know, like the burglar mask that looks sort of raccoonish?
I don't want to confuse people. I want people to know it's a possum.
I want a literal raccoon eating garbage on the shirt.
Well, artists out there, mock it up and send it to us. We'll decide who wins, I guess. But Mikey, do you have a review for us to read?
Yeah, I do have a review for you today.
Heck yeah. Whose review are you going to read this week?
A. Jacqueline.
Well, what does A. Jacqueline have to say?
Pod for all occasions.
Heck yeah.
I don't know. What's A. Jacqueline with you?
I hope she's never late. A. Jacqueline late.
I still don't get it.
It sounds like ejaculate.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Fine. I play 40 chess with puns. It's fine.
You definitely do.
He means 40, as in he's like telling jokes that only 40 and up laugh at.
That's what it is.
Yeah. You mean people who make money? That's exactly the audience I want to have. Okay. If you're too tired to absorb a movie or TV show, listen to this show, even though we don't do TV shows. But that's fine. If you need distraction from charity work associates, listen to this show. Oh, chatty work. That makes more sense. If you're anxious about doing errands alone, download and listen to this show while going to Target. The companionship and absorption into their conversation is just right for all situations. 3 purple heart emojis for our wartime injuries.
Naturally, yes.
And she signs it off, and Jay. 5 stars.
Aww, well, AJ, thank you so much for that awesome 5-star review. And if you want to have Mikey read your 5-star review or me read your Spotify comment, leave us a 5-star review or Spotify comment and we will do that. So, guys, if you like this power thruple that we have here on this podcast, make sure to check out our other podcast, The Horror Virgin. And that is the only other podcast that Mikey and I are on. But Paige gets around and she is on 2 other podcasts. Black Card Rehab and Cult Podcast. So guys, definitely check out those because they're amazing. If you want to follow us on social, we are at Romancing the Pod Show.
Yes.
On Instagram. And we are at something else on Twitter who I just have never taken the time to learn.
It's just Romancing Pod Show because they have a character limit and it's show, S-H-O, like Showtime.
So guys, check that out as well. And if you want to follow us all individually, Paige is at Rampage Wesley everywhere, including TikTok, except for Twitter, where she is at Paige Wesley. Mikey is at mrandolph24, and I am at Todd J. Awesome everywhere. And guys, we got a P.O. box. So if you want to send us some love letters or whatever you might send to a P.O. box, it's actually not a P.O. box. It's like a regular street address. It's pretty awesome. It's 6688 Nolensville Road, number 108-34, Brentwood, Tennessee, 37027. So send us some stuff.
Yeah.
And that's going to be it for us, you guys. I'm Paige.
I'm Mikey.
And I'm Todd.
And lo, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the pod, and Juliet is the sun.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, and I am Paige Wesley, the sun.
Oh, no. But you complete us.
To completion.
These violet delights have violent
ends. Violent ends.
Bye! Baz Luhrmann is a genius, nerds!
I mean, that's a little far.
Ooh, that's a... Hot takes.